Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
And good Wednesday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson here this morning and filling in for Tim. And Ed was filling in for Tim yesterday. Ed's now gone, so just us news folks and a few others who are slipping in here this morning and taking care of business. A lot of news to talk about. Joining me is Chris Woodward from the newsroom. A little bit later, it'll be Steve Jordahl from the newsroom. And, of course, Ray Pritchard from Kansas City, Kansas.
Hey, Fred, how are you this morning?
Not too bad at all. We were having our story meeting this morning, and I told Ray we're making him an honorary member of the American Family News team because this is kind of like a news coup going on here.
Hey, I want to be part of the insurrection. Here we go.
Well, listen, it's good to be here. And I know, folks, it's kind of becoming an overused phrase, but it is so true. There is so much news to talk about. A little bit later on the program, and I don't want you to miss this, there was a meeting of the city council in Charleston, South Carolina last night, and it was a Loudoun County moment. And you may ask, what are you talking about? Loudoun County in Virginia, where parents have been leading an uprising there, in that case against critical race theory being taught to their kids. Well, last night in Charleston, South Carolina, it was an uprising by parents once again, and a lot of these are angry moms, all right? And they're upset about what the city council there has been considering, and that's a massive mask mandate for that city, including schools. And I tell you what, you make a mom upset about what's going to happen to their kids, and you're going to hear from those moms. And that city council heard from those moms last night. But first, still headlining the news today is the situation in Afghanistan. And folks, I wish I could report that things are looking up, getting brighter, but instead this morning we once again are facing a deteriorating situation. And Chris, we want to go back as we head off the program today to just several weeks ago when the President of the United States, Joe Biden, had nothing but encouraging words for his plan to withdraw American forces from Afghanistan.
Right. Yeah, this audio is something we have played before on this program. In fact, we did it on Monday. To bring it back into play today, what you're going to hear here is audio of President Biden being asked by a reporter whether he was concerned about the Taliban's chances of actually taking control of Afghanistan and the comparisons that some people were making earlier this summer that we were going to leave Afghanistan much like we left Vietnam. Clip 11.
And do you see any parallels between this withdrawal and what happened in Vietnam with some people feeling...
None whatsoever. Zero. What you had is you had entire brigades breaking through the gates of our embassy. Six, if I'm not mistaken. The Taliban is not the North Vietnamese army. They're not remotely comparable in terms of capability. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy of the United States from Afghanistan. It is not at all comparable. So the question now is, where do they go from here? That the jury is still out. But the likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely.
As if that was not already bad enough, given everything we've known and heard and talked about over the past few days. Today, USA Today has a story out that says the White House now says a fair amount of U.S. military equipment provided to Afghans is now in the hands of the Taliban.
Oh, the situation, Ray, is deteriorating by the moment. We've had statements from the State Department basically saying we think we can work with the Taliban. We had statements being made by the Taliban that, yes, we're coming in, we have control, but we're going to treat women well. We have the horrific pictures that are out there this morning of this woman who has been beaten to death by the Taliban because she didn't have a burqa on. So there's the talk, Ray, and then there's the reality. And I want to get your reaction to that in just a second. But to what Joe Biden told us there several weeks ago, there wasn't a chance There wasn't a chance that we were going to see what we are seeing now, a Taliban complete takeover. Now, here's the New York Times front page story this morning. I want to read you a few paragraphs from the New York Times, who's been a defender of this Biden administration. Dateline Washington, classified assessments by American spy agencies over the summer painted an increasingly grim picture of the prospect of a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan and warned of the rapid collapse of the Afghan military, even as President Biden and his advisors said publicly that was unlikely. You just heard him, to happen as quickly. By July, many intelligence reports grew more pessimistic, questioning whether any Afghan security forces would muster serious resistance and whether the government could hold on in Kabul, the capital. President Biden said on July 8th that the Afghan government was unlikely to fall and that there would be no chaotic evacuations of Americans similar to the end of the Vietnam War, which you just heard, Joe Biden in his own words. So, Ray, what we have here and what the New York Times, probably the most left-wing newspaper in the country, is telling us in a front-page story this morning, that our intelligence agencies knew when Joe Biden was making that statement that his statement was 100% false.
You know, Fred, this is a shocking thing for the New York Times to say this. They knew, when I mean they, the military on the ground, the U.S. military on the ground and the U.S. intelligence services, they warned for weeks and months that this was a disaster in the making. Either the Biden administration deliberately ignored them or didn't understand or didn't care. This, when Joe Biden made that statement, the comparison between Vietnam, Saigon, and Kabul, since he brought it up, we have the right to discuss it. I mean, he's the one who said, you know, there's no comparison. Yeah, in a sense, but not the way he meant. The North Vietnamese army actually had to fight their way to Saigon. Basically, the Taliban took over the whole country almost without any fight whatsoever. And so now we have the greatest humanitarian crisis on our hands, really, since the fall of Vietnam back in 1974, 75. In that sense, it is a humiliating defeat for America. It's a humiliating, I'm trying to think of the right word here, Fred, to describe what it has done for our reputation around the world, that we let this happen. Okay, let's say it again. It was always going to be bad, right? The ending in Afghanistan was always going to be bad. It did not have to end like this, Fred. And that has to be laid directly at the feet of Joe Biden. And don't you think it's telling now that CNN and the New York Times are basically saying the same thing?
Absolutely. You know what's, you know, Joe Biden, he made the comparison with Saigon. In many ways, this is worse, guys.
Yeah.
Because we have 15,000, upwards of 15,000 Americans.
Mm-hmm.
They're not at the airport in Kabul, right, which is the only place now that's under defense by our American military. They're outside. And Chris and Ray, all they've got is an email from the State Department saying, shelter in place. We'll get back to you on that.
Yeah.
It's horrific, Chris.
Yeah, we do have an example here. It's not exaggeration. I've got some audio here from a guy named Haroon. He is a U.S. citizen living in Afghanistan, and he was on Fox and Friends earlier today saying Joe Biden has to get Americans and translators out. Clip 3.
My message to Biden is, please, as a right of a human rights, as a people who serve for American, we put our life in danger, help them, and to help them for their goals. Now we need Biden or whoever has the power, please help all these families that they're on the street and their kids are not deserving this. They help you and they help America and they help the world. So they put their life in risk to help the world to do the right thing.
Now, this was a compelling interview. It went on. I watched it this morning for about 25 or 30 minutes on Fox and Friends. This gentleman, who's identified as Haroon, he's an American citizen, lives here in the United States. He went to Kabul back just a few weeks ago, he and his family, to help his dad, who was very ill. Mm-hmm. So he is an American citizen. He is there with his family. Now, here's what happened earlier this morning to Haran. He gets the email from the State Department. Mm-hmm. Go to the airport. So he goes to the airport. But here's the thing. The airport, the international airport, which is the only place inside that's controlled by the American military right now, is surrounded by the Taliban. They are running the checkpoints. They are the TSA at this point. Right. Think about that for a second. So he tries to get through. He doesn't get through. In fact, he was caught trying to take some pictures with his cell phone, and apparently one of the Taliban members just smashed his cell phone. He showed that on camera. So he goes home. And so what you heard there is this appeal, Ray, to the President of the United States. Mm-hmm. We've been here. We've been trying to help the Afghani people, we being the United States. Now we're here caught. You've got to do something, Mr. President, to get these 15,000 fellow citizens of yours, Mr. Biden, to get out of here. And you know what? It's crickets from the White House right now.
Yeah, I sent, I have messaged Brent the link to the interview with Haroon here. It's about 15 minutes, but 15 definitely minutes. Worth watching.
Yep. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, so here's the situation. It is so dangerous, Fred, at Chris. It's so dangerous mm-hmm. over there now. I mean, I've been just scrolling through my Twitter feed, and it's kind of amazing. They can still get on Twitter over there in Kabul, and you've got people saying, we can't leave our home. It's not safe in the street outside where we are. Forget getting to the airport. We can't even get to the car to get to the airport to try to get through those checkpoints. How is it we have left evidently thousands of American citizens over there? How did Joe Biden and his team let this happen with no plan, no forethought? We just said, okay, guys, you're on your own. An extremely dangerous situation.
You know, I think it's one part arrogance and one part knowing you have a media in your back pocket that's not really going to do anything negative to you.
Right.
You know, Joe Biden has, I mean, we've all seen the swagger, and look, Trump had it too, but Joe Biden has an air about him where he thinks he knows everything, and he's been coddled by people, he's been told by people that he is, you know, this cool guy. We've all seen the shiny tooth grins, and he comes out in his aviators, and he thinks he's, you know, a cool guy. So, Obama had the similar kind of personality, and people loved him for it, and nobody challenges him on things, but certainly we're starting to see the tide turning here. One other thing that I don't want to get lost on here, and, you know, full disclosure, I am a girl dad. I'm married. I've got two girls at home, and one of the big concerns that we're hearing from people is the fact that we're leaving women behind. We're ignoring women. Mm-hmm. And Hillary Clinton herself, 25, 30 some odd years ago, said, you know, women's rights are human rights. And we're ignoring the women that are now going to be left there and tortured by the Taliban. Former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, was on Fox yesterday talking about how we've let Afghan women down. Clip two.
I think about as ambassador when I actually went and visited Afghanistan, and the women and girls that I met with, the women who were holding positions in government, the girls who were going to school, and now they're going to go back to being sex slaves hidden in their homes. I mean, this is horrible. This could not have gone any worse. And it's, you know, Biden's trying to make this about what his options were. You know what? He didn't have to have it this way. It's not always what we do, it's how we do it. And he failed miserably. He humiliated America, and the world sees us as less safe right now. And that's all because of Biden. It's tragic.
You know, the Democrat Party tries to sell itself as a defender of women. It is absolutely remarkable at this point where we're not hearing anything, voices from the Democrats raised in concern about what's the future of women and children in Afghanistan. There's been nothing. In fact, Steve passed me a statement coming from Nancy Pelosi praising Biden for the way he's handling things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely shocking. As I say, this is a party that describes itself as a defender of women and women's rights. What about the rights of these dear women and children in Afghanistan? We know from our history of the Taliban that women are going to be treated as dirt. I mentioned just a few moments ago, there are these horrific pictures that are out there this morning of this Afghani woman who went outside without a burqa on, and she was killed.
Right.
She was killed by the Taliban.
And that's just the one we know about.
And the Taliban, as if anybody would believe them, you know, that will be an understanding government, that women will have roles in our government. You know what somebody was pointing out? That is exactly what the Ayatollahs said in Iran, that women will have a positive role in the leadership. That was a lie.
Yeah.
That was a lie.
So you got an Afghan woman who goes out without a burqa. She's put to death. Call that a preview of coming attractions from the Taliban. Yeah. You know, they can say whatever they want. Their track record is clear. They do not care about women. They don't care about women's rights. They certainly don't care about any sort of equality under the law. That's what's ahead for the women of Afghanistan.
Yes.
And frankly, at this point, anything Joe Biden says, nobody's going to believe anyway, because he has let this happen. So it is an unfolding humanitarian crisis.
Now, one person that seemingly doesn't care about this is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, which Fred just mentioned here. You know, she's third in line to the White House behind President Biden and Vice President Harris. Speaker Pelosi, this is audio of her on a local CBS station, KPIX 5 in San Francisco, commending President Biden for his withdrawal of the troops. Clip 10.
Well, first, may I just say that I commend the president for the action that he took. It was strong, it was decisive, and it was the right thing to do. We should have been out of Afghanistan a while back. But now we are, unfortunately, one of the possibilities was that it would be in disarray as it is. But that has to be corrected. And it is my understanding from the assurances we have received that the military will be there negotiating with the Taliban for the safe exit of American citizens and friends, people who have helped us, our allies there.
Well, she said that has to be corrected.
Do you know when she had this interview?
It's recently.
I know she's on vacation, but does she not read newspapers and watch TV? Is she not aware, Ray, of what's going on in that country now?
Was she saying that our military is going to negotiate with the Taliban to get our people out? Does anybody believe that's going to happen? And what possible...
She does.
What motivation is the Taliban going to have to negotiate with us anyway? They already run the whole country. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a mess. It really is. Now, she mentioned, you know, it needs to be corrected. The world is going to expect us to correct our mess.
Yes.
Now, I know some other countries fought and died in Afghanistan, Great Britain being one of those countries. Other countries have sent troops there over the past 20 years. But, you know, the world is going to say, look, you caused this. You get in there and fix it. And that puts Joe Biden on the clock again as to what you're going to do. And how do we even go about doing it now, knowing that they possess some of the military equipment we just left there?
Chris and Ray, I have to wonder how many Americans right now are saying, I wish Donald Trump was still here.
Yeah.
And how he might have handled this. In fact, I guess we shouldn't be surprised, Chris. Trump is speaking out.
Yes, he is speaking out. And as you might expect, he does think Joe Biden should resign. Trump himself was on Hannity last night, and he said this situation is worse than Vietnam. Clip 4.
It's a terrible time for our country. I don't think in all of the years our country has ever been so humiliated. I don't know, would you call it a military defeat or a psychological defeat? There's never been anything like what's happened here. You can go back to Jimmy Carter with the hostages. We all thought that was a great embarrassment, and we were pulled out of that by Ronald Reagan. This is many, many times worse. It's nobody's ever seen anything like that. That blows the helicopters in Vietnam away. That's not even a contest. This has been the most humiliating period of time I've ever seen. Yeah, we had a great deal. We worked on it very hard.
Now, you know, I think Steve brought this up yesterday. Maybe it was brought up in the segment that I was on. But, Trump announced that we were going to be leaving Afghanistan while he was in office. And he was, criticized for that. A lot of people were kind of raising their eyebrows, like, how in the world are we going to do this? And we're going to negotiate with a terrorist and things of that sort. Chuck Todd, a man who Barack Obama once referred to as the, and I'm not making this up, the big cheese, said that he thought things would have been just as bad, if not worse, under Trump. Obviously, you can't say that. I am skeptical only because we had 4 years worth of foreign policy toughness under President Trump compared to the, I don't even know what to call it, with Biden in Afghanistan. I don't know that you can say it would have been as worse under Trump.
Well, what was it? Soleimani?
Yes.
That Trump took out.
Right.
That Iranian terrorist leader, military leader from Iran, he demonstrated that he could be tough.
Yes.
He demonstrated, much like the Israelis have to almost every day, Ray, that you have to back up your words with action.
Mm-hmm. Right. Look, I think Americans, by and large, across party lines, agree on two things. Number one, we needed to get out of Afghanistan.
Yes.
20 years was long enough. That's just across the board. Number two, we agree now, not like this.
Yeah.
Not the way it was done here. Would Trump have done it differently? Well, it was going to be a bad situation no matter what happened. And I think it's likely the Taliban ends up running the country anyway, right? That's just... I don't know there's any way to get around that, but to do it this way is humiliating, embarrassing, and frankly, we have empowered the enemies of America around the world. Why should China take any of our warnings seriously when they see how we have done with our so-called friends in Afghanistan?
Yeah. I think it's, it certainly puts the next administration, assuming we have one and the Lord tarries and we have another president at some point in the future, it really puts him or her in a tough situation based on the fact that we now had 20 years worth of Afghanistan for the people that were old enough to remember Afghanistan. I remember when we got involved in the first Gulf War, people were kind of like, hesitant to really get involved there. Mm-hmm. The next foreign war that will impact U.S. interest is going to be a tough sell for whoever is in the White House based on Biden's mishandling of the situation in Afghanistan, I think.
Guys, I have to wonder, I was watching a poll yesterday or looking at the poll results and, even the independents, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, and independents with regards to ask about how Joe Biden, his handling of the exit, how it affected them. And the independents were very negative on this. And that is the group that's in the middle that basically decides elections. And I'm not sure in this country, I know we're politically divided, but I think the absence of Democrat voices coming out to support the president is an indication right now that Democrats understand they've tried to defend him on the border issue. They have tried to defend him on the response to COVID. But you're not hearing those same voices. In fact, Vice President Kamala Harris, not a peep.
Yeah.
In fact, she's leaving town. She's going to Saigon.
Oh, my.
She's heading to Vietnam. Not a word from Kamala Harris. So there you have it. Joe Biden, I think there are some reports where basically Kamala Harris said, hey, you're not going to lay this on me. She's taking flack over the border issue. You're not going to lay this on me. Joe Biden is kind of out there alone right now. So where that takes us with Joe Biden, I'm not sure. There are some who are advocating it's time to impeach. Whether that'll happen, we'll have to wait and see. You're listening to Today's Issues, Fred, Chris, and Ray. We're going to be joined by Brother Abe Hamilton when we come back right after the break. A Wednesday edition. Today's Issues, don't go away. Much more ahead.
Thank you. I interviewed family counselor Dr. Kathy Cook about practical ways that families can overcome too much technology in the home.
Be a tech-wise family in a tech-driven world. An article by Rebecca Davis.
She just gave really great practical ideas about replacing that technology. It becomes easier for your family to actually engage with each other instead of with the screen that's in front of them.
To read this article and more, visit afajournal.org.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. No matter your career goals, you want to find a university that provides excellent academics and state-of-the-art facilities at a price you can afford. At Liberty University, they believe a quality Christian education should be available to everyone. That's why they've frozen their tuition rates through the 2021-2022 academic year and offer multiple scholarships, like the Middle America Scholarship, to bring that price point even lower. Learn more by texting STARNS to the number 49596. There is a missing man table at Naval Air Facility Atsugi in Japan. The POW MIA table is a tradition often found in military dining halls, honoring missing service members and prisoners of war. According to Navy instruction, the table settings must include certain symbolic items like an empty chair and a single rose. The table also includes a Bible, and that has apparently triggered a number of sailors. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation fired off a letter to the base commander demanding the Bible be removed. The MRFF claims to represent thousands of Christian service members who allegedly get triggered by public displays of their own faith. They say the inclusion of a Bible excludes any sailor who is not white, straight, or of the Christian faith. The military says they're investigating. To remove the Bible is to desecrate the missing man table. That cannot and must not happen, but it probably will, because there's no room at the table in President Biden's Pentagon for people of faith. I'm Todd Starnes.
Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. 1 Peter 3:14 through 16.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And indeed, welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Today's Issues. The A-team is all away, Ed and Tim. And so we're doing our best to fill in here, Fred and Chris and Ray. And we're joined right now by Abraham Hamilton III, General Counsel here at AFA, public policy analyst, and also host of the Hamilton Corner, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. Central right here at AFR. How you doing, Abe?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Yeah, we've been spending the last half hour or so getting the latest developments out there about what's going on in Afghanistan and what's not happening, and basically more and more. I don't know if you heard, we were talking about this front page New York Times story this morning. That basically says intelligence, U.S. intelligence agencies were warning Biden that things were going to go this way. And at the same time, Biden was telling the American public, there's no chance of this happening. You know, I want to get your comments on that in just a second, Abe, but Mark Levin, who's just written a block seller book, American Marxism, was asked about all of this this morning on Fox and Friends, and His solution basically is this, that it's time for Joe Biden to go. Cut number one.
I want the House Republicans to start talking seriously. I mean, Donald Trump, there's a letter and there's a word and a letter to the Ukrainian president. And look at that. He was trying to go after Biden. And the two presidents say, no, he wasn't. Well, we're going to impeach him anyway. And then we'll impeach him when he's a private citizen. Joe Biden deserves to be impeached and removed from office. That discussion needs to begin right now.
Yeah, Mark Levin was saying basically, you know, a disaster on our southern border. We've got a disaster in the way Joe Biden has been handling COVID. And now we have Afghanistan. Abe, I know Mark Levin is frustrated like a lot of Americans, but the possibility of impeachment against Joe Biden with the Democrats still in control, I'm not sure that's possible. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I understand Mark Levin's passion. I understand the factual foundation for it. On my program yesterday and even the day before, I played the July 8th audio of Joe Biden saying, in response to a reporter's question, is exactly that. The reporter said, intelligence agencies are telling us that we have to get out of Afghanistan because the Taliban is going to take over the whole country. And back on July 8th, Joe Biden directly said that is not true. And so I contrasted that audio with the audio from Matt Zeller, the U.S. Army veteran, who is also a veteran of the Afghanistan war, who said, excuse me, that we have 86,000 people, interpreters and others who have aided us, who I have personally presented the names and identities of to the Biden administration since they took office. So not just like last week, not even just the week before, but had in an effort to try to get the Biden administration to respond to not only evacuate our American citizens, but also those who have aided us for the last 20 years in Afghanistan. And so I posed the question. I said, so is if this is true, both of these things cannot be true. It cannot be true that the intelligence agencies have informed the Biden administration that this is going to happen and that they did not inform the Biden administration. There's no ambiguity. There's no gray area there. I said, so is Mr. Robinette Biden completely incompetent? Or is he flat out lying to the American people? Or is it a combination of both? Because the alternatives are not even plausible, let alone logical. And so it seems, in light of this, and the New York Times, as you said today, is reporting on the front page, that Mr. Biden directly lied, bold-faced, flat out, unequivocally to the American people. And not just a general lie, but it's a lie that cost lives, where literal lives were lost, blood was shed. And to date, we still have tens of thousands of American citizens who are in Afghanistan right now and who the Biden administration gave a notice to. You need to try to get to the airport in Kabul, but we can't promise your safe passage or your safety in trying to get there. So I understand those sentiments. However, elections do have consequences. When you have a majority of Democrats in the House of Representatives, the likelihood that an impeachment articles would be filed, let alone passed, is just not very high. In order to do so, Republicans would have to persuade the Democrat colleagues to go along with it. And unlike some Republicans who joined in the fray to try to participate what I would describe as a political witch hunt against President Trump, using their impeachment powers for political purposes, which, by the way, impeachment is a political remedy. I don't want anybody to misunderstand that. I doubt that there will be a sufficient amount of Democrats who would join a Republican effort to file articles of impeachment. However, I don't think that that lack of a likelihood of persuading Democrats should stop the Republicans from making the case. I think the Republicans should make their case to the American people as they simultaneously try to persuade the Democrat colleagues. But I agree with Mark Levin that the case needs to be made. There's no reason why Republicans should remain mum on this. And frankly, just offering barbs via Twitter is woefully insufficient. They need to make the formalized case to the American people and move popular opinion, because I think you'll find that although some Democrat elected officials may be slow on the uptake, I think even some who or our Democrat voters will recognize that this is a case that has viability.
Ray, I want to spin out of what Abe just said about the American voter, even Democrats. Back in 1979-80, we had just over 200 American citizens that were held hostage by the Iranians. and Jimmy Carter's failure to get them free played a lot into the calculation that brought Ronald Reagan to office. We now have, the count that I've heard, we've got 15,000 Americans behind enemy lines,
right,
in Afghanistan. And I'm not seeing a lot of members, Democrat members of Congress. Where's Chuck Schumer? Where's all these? Where's Adam? What's his name?
Schiff.
Right.
I'm hearing nothing from them. How do they respond? We don't know how those 15,000 are going to get out. We just heard the clip from the gentleman named Haran, who's one of those 15,000 Americans that right now, he tried to get to the airport this morning and was turned back by the Taliban because they control the perimeter of that airport. We've got 15,000 Americans as we sit here this morning basically being held hostage. And all they get is an email from the State Department says, shelter in place. We'll get back to you. At what point, I wonder, Ray, will Democrats start speaking out about this? These are American citizens.
Well, let's suppose something, Fred. Let's suppose that you are an American citizen and you're on the outskirts of Kabul, right? And you're not by the airport. You're on the other side of the city. It's not safe to go outside. It's not safe to get in a car. You can't call the police. The police of the Taliban, right? You can't call the U.S. Embassy. Nobody's going to pick up the phone. You can't call the 82nd Airborne and say, hey, guys, could you come and pick me up? So we've got American citizens over there trapped in a dangerous situation with no possibility of help. And I'm thinking to myself, Fred, while you were talking, is the president going to send in the 82nd Airborne or the 101st? Is he going to get those American citizens out? I got to say, I don't have much confidence in anything the president says at this point that he's going to do. I think he's lost all credibility. So why don't the Democrats, why don't they speak out? Fred, is it a possibility? I mean, we talked yesterday about the 25th Amendment and why Kamala Harris wasn't speaking out. And the fact now that CNN and the New York Times, they are talking about what a disaster this is. Is this a setup to get Biden out of office by the 25th Amendment instead of letting impeachment run its course? I wonder. Fred, what do you think?
Well, we heard, Abe, we had Sandy Rios on yesterday, and she expressed the opinion that with the mainstream media, many members of the mainstream media now apparently, and we have the New York Times story this morning, Abe, talking about the fact that our intelligence agencies warned Biden about this. And so I just have to wonder, is there some point, we know that Biden has returned to the White House under cover of darkness last night by himself. Kamala Harris is leaving town. Is he being isolated to the point where somebody's going to have the talk with him, maybe do the honorable thing, Mr. President, and step down? Because I don't think the Article 25 would work. That's just my opinion. What do you think, Abe?
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think they will invoke the 25th Amendment, and I don't think most Democrats will go along with an impeachment effort. I do think that there could be an effort to prevail on Mr. Biden to resign. I said yesterday that I would be surprised if that happened before the midterms. But what I would not be surprised is about an announcement that happens before the midterms and that would say that his resignation would take place post midterms. I think a part of that ploy or that push would be for them to maintain. And it's just unfortunate. But when you're dealing with these politicos, that everything is based on political calculus, far and above even the veracity and the viability of policy initiatives, and that's the sad and unfortunate truth. I would be shocked if it happened before the 2022 midterms, but I would not be shocked to hear an announcement of an impending resignation, mm-hmm. kind of like Cuomo said, in 14 days my resignation will be effective. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that there will be a resignation post the 2022 midterms,
which will put Kamala Harris in the Oval Office.
You know,
That's it's an interesting situation. I would think my knee-jerk reaction was he won't do it before the midterms because that's going to, and I'm using air quotes, jeopardize the chances of Dems getting reelected or, you know, retaking the House, the Senate, and all that stuff. But I could see somebody making the argument that this would actually improve our chances of making the argument of, okay, Joe's leaving. Now you need us. Put us in office again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, with those 15,000 American citizens are sitting there. The question is now, what happens to them?
Yeah.
That's the million-dollar question, folks. And we're going to be watching this. Apparently, the president is meeting with his advisors. They got themselves into this mess. I'm not sure they can get this out. The only thing that I've been thinking about, and we know Barack Obama did this with the Iranians, truckloads of cash arriving by airplane in the middle of night. I don't know, Abe, is it possible? You know, the Taliban says, we'll let these 15,000 go if you start handing over probably billions of dollars to us. Is that feasible?
That's not beyond the pale of possibilities, you know. And when you say what's going to happen to these people, the Taliban is very clear on what they intend to do. You know, these people are not just abandoned. They're very likely abandoned to die, frankly. The 15,000 Americans who are there, I could see them being used as a hostage or a ransom basis for ransom negotiations. The additional 86,000 Afghanis and Iraqis who've helped us there, as Matt Zeller explained, that they're all recorded in a biometric database that the Taliban now has control over.
Yes.
So they know who these people are. They've sent notices and people to various homes saying that we have a list and we'll be back. To be clear, these people have been abandoned to die, most likely.
Yes.
And this is the type of consequence that flows from this lack of foreign policy, planning, preparation, and execution. And I could see the Biden administration yielding to some type of extortionist request because we don't appear to have any allies left in the area. And so we have Americans behind enemy lines and allies, American allies, that have been abandoned to die. Yeah.
Well, listen, we need to be praying for these folks. And Ray, can I ask you to pray for these dear American people, these Afghanis that have been our allies there? They need our prayer right now.
Well, let's do that. Father in heaven, we know that you see all things. What is hidden to us is revealed to you. You see, you care, you move from heaven to defend your people on the earth. Lord, we lift up the country of Afghanistan, bleeding and broken and full of so much heartache and despair. Father, we pray you will bring about peace. We know, Lord, you are a God of peace. Your Son came to establish peace on the earth. We thank you, Lord, for those Christians who are in Afghanistan. We know there is a Christian community there. We pray, Lord, for you to protect your people. We pray, Lord, for you to from heaven, by your Spirit, move upon the Taliban. We pray, Lord, to withhold from them, Lord, that they would not move in judgment, that there would not be bloodshed, further bloodshed. We pray, Lord, for our president. We certainly don't pray against him. We pray for President Biden and for the leaders who advise him. Give them wisdom in moving forward so that from this terrible situation, you might bring about peace in that troubled land. We pray for the church in Afghanistan. Lord, stand by your people. Deliver them. Give them strength and courage. Help them, Lord, to continue to turn to you. We pray, Lord, for the peace of that land. And we pray for those American citizens who are trapped behind enemy lines. Lord, make a way for them to come home soon and safely. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that, Ray, very much. You know, just it seemed just a few days ago, the big story, the headline story was dealing with COVID. And the government's moves on more mandates, et cetera, et cetera. It's almost disappeared as a story. But the exception is certainly last night in Charleston, South Carolina. More and more we're seeing citizens that are rising up because Charleston City Council last night was considering a mask mandate for all schools in that city. And parents, and once again, kind of led by moms, showed up in force. And I want to play you a clip of one mom who came to the microphone. It's a little bit longer than what we normally play, but I want you to hear the passion of this mom. Her name is Ashley Regan, and have a listen to what she had to say to the Charleston City Council on their proposed mask mandate for schools in that city. Cut five.
I'm Ashley Regan. Good evening, members. I'm a mother of two children in the district, a small business owner, a previous educator holding a master's degree in childhood education and psychology. And I am part of the 200,000 families that have fled the tyranny of New York in 2021 alone. Today, I'm here to represent the parents who are being portrayed as the enemy, the super spreaders, the anti-science crew, and now most recently as domestic terrorists. We are here because we are defying these illogical, nonsensical, one-sided guidelines. We are parents and our job is to protect our children. No one knows our children better than us. Yes, COVID is a virus, but so is the flu, strep throat, RSV. And where were you when our children were sick from these viruses? Were any of you calling to muzzle our children in masks up to 8 hours a day? Were any of you demanding our children quarantine for 2 weeks?
Time.
Were any of you trying to push our youth into an experimental vaccine? The answer is an overwhelming no. These are our children, and we are the parents. The medical choices for these children are up to the parents and the parents only. We have asked you, we have pleaded with you, and our attempts were in vain. And now you have a slew of angry parents. Instead of enjoying our last day with our children, we are here fighting you and your overreach. I urge you to cease all attempts at mandating masks for us or our children. I will not comply. My children will not comply. And more importantly, there is a slew of parents, citizens, and grandparents who will not comply.
All right. That was last night at Charleston City Council meeting. That mom, along with many other moms who came to the microphone, had an impact, I guess, at least last night, because the city council there voted against the mask mandate. You know, Abe, I want to get your comment on this. She said, now you're referring to us as domestic terrorists. She wasn't exaggerating, because there was a Homeland Security memo that came out late last Friday afternoon about threats to this nation. And number one in that memo from the Joe Biden Homeland Security division was people who question mask mandates. It's unbelievable what's happening. Now apparently we're a bigger threat than the gangs in this country and probably terrorists coming across our southern border, Abe.
Yeah, it's remarkable to see that more than terrorists coming across the southern border, more than Antifa, more than MS-13, more than Islamic jihadists. I mean, can you even say that anymore? Does that even exist? But you put number one on the list, those who would question mask mandates. It's remarkable to behold that. And it reveals the tyrannical penchant for control. You know, the reason why, in my estimation, that those who would question mask mandates were ranked number one on the Biden administration's Homeland Security's advisory is because their primary concern is not the safety of the American populace. It is that or people who would pose a threat to their control. And so it's sad that we've gotten here, but make no mistake about it. This is where we are. You know, there are those within the Biden administration who are actually debating even more draconian measures because in true Alinsky fashion, you never allow a good crisis to go to waste. This is why I know I was among many. I wasn't the only one among many who highlighted that a part of the insidiousness of the Obamacare legislation was that under the guise of health care, you can put anything under there. So then when you add health care plus public health emergency, then you see the desire for tyrannical despotism and control. You see it magnified on the public stage. And that is what we are experiencing. Remember how you had, you know, Gavin Newsom in California to tell churches that they couldn't meet in person.
Yeah.
And then if they met, they couldn't sing. Mm-hmm. While at the same time, Walmart was open, Lowe's was open, the liquor stores were
strip
open,
clubs.
Abortion facilities were open, clubs were open, everything seemed to be open except for churches. And you see that continuing with this advisory issue by the Homeland Security, by the Department of Homeland Security, to say anybody who would question them, they're public enemy number one.
You know, Abe, we're almost out of time here, but I did want to get your reaction. There was a publication, Reason.com, and I've heard this from other sources as well, that the Biden administration, under the guise, the umbrella of fighting COVID, the Biden administration reportedly discussed making travel within the United States conditional on vaccination status, even travel between states. I guess people are wondering, Abe, where does the constitutional protection begin for the American people when you have an administration like the Biden administration apparently believes they can do whatever they want under the guise of COVID protection?
Yeah, that's insane. Emergency powers for the executive branch, they have broad power in regulating who can enter the country. But when it comes to travel within states, that's solely within the province of governors and state legislators. The bulk of emergency power rests at the state level, not at the federal level. The federal level, the executive branch does have some authority concerning interstate travel, but they do not have the authority to apply blanket vaccination status perpetually as a mechanism to determine who can and who cannot travel between states. There's this thing called the United States of America. There's this thing called the Privileges and Immunities Clause of the Constitution that would allow members of one state to enjoy the rights and privileges of members of another state. When you have those types of measures imposed, you literally threaten the fabric of these United States of America. So it will be imperative that, I would say, not if, but when these power grabs continue, that we have right-thinking Americans who stand up immediately to fight against them. Because when you have those who do have the tyrannical inclinations, there really seems to be no limitation on those inclinations beyond their own imaginations.
Gee, Abe, do I have to ask you what you're going to be talking about on your program today?
Recipes.
Yes. How to get the best gumbo.
Is banana pudding a casserole? Yes.
What will you be talking about, Abe? More on this. I'm
well,
sure.
This story is on my heart about the reduction of freedom. Mm-hmm. As you know, a lot of the rights that we have in this country, they've been kind of reduced in practice to being viewed as privileges. I have that on my docket, so to speak, and I have a couple other things I'm thinking through. But that very well may be one of the major things we focus on today.
All right, make sure, folks, you tune into the Hamilton Corner at 5 o'clock Central this evening. Much more from our brother Abe. Abe, thanks so much. We appreciate you, man.
Thank you. You guys have a good one.
All right. Well, guys, we've come. What a busy hour.
Yes.
And this is a story that's going to continue. I know I'm old enough to remember the hostage situation, 79, 80, and that story went on and on. And this story, in its magnitude, Ray and Chris, I think even exceeds that. We were horrified by that, certainly that hostage incident, but we've got 15,000 Americans, and I'm not exaggerating, behind enemy lines right now.
And you know what, Fred? This was avoidable, and that is what is so angering to the American public. And by the way, I see the latest polls, Joe Biden's favorability ratings, approval ratings, they're going down, down, down. You can bet they're watching that in the White House.
All right. Well, pray for those dear folks, as we've done in this hour. Keep them in your prayers, and that somehow, we know God can. God can make a way. Mm-hmm. And that's our prayer, that God will open up the doors and this will get resolved. All right. Much more ahead. Thank you, Chris, very much, as always. And Steve Jordahl will be joining us right after the news break, which is coming up next here on American Family Radio. Back in about 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.